You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NFL Combine is fast approaching, and it's time to get to know some of the prospects that we'll want to keep an eye on all next week and beyond. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're looking at the quarterback class coming to Indianapolis for workouts. Really, they report on Sunday, and then their workouts kind of go through most of next week. But we're not going to focus on any of the top-of-the-draft guys that won't even be anywhere near where the Bears pick, but we're going to look more specifically at some of the day three quarterbacks, the developmental guys that aren't going to come in and start anywhere early in their careers. But if Ryan Pace wants to keep up with his idea of trying to draft a quarterback every year and actually follow through on that, these are some of the guys that could really be much more realistic for the Bears. But before we get into the realistic options, we need to address one of the unrealistic options that was floating around recently in the world of Bears fans and social media that we've gotten a couple of questions about here on the podcast and haven't really gotten around to talking about it. Sports radio host Dan Soleo, and I think he's maybe former sports radio host right now because I don't believe he is employed in the industry at the moment, he's been tweeting out some things this spring and winter trying to report, in quotation marks, some information leading with NFL teams and sort of inside sources of sorts that has spurred some real conversation among Chicago Bears fans once the Bears were a team that were looped into this discussion. So Dan Soleo had tweeted that he was told, and I again say in quotation marks, he was told that the Bengals are listening to offers for the number one pick in the NFL draft from five teams: the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Buccaneers, and the Chicago Bears, which created a lot of speculation from Bears fans wondering, well, wait a minute, could the Bears be interested in moving up to the top of the draft to presumably take a top quarterback in this draft? And Dan kind of doubled down the next day, tweeting that the Chicago Bears will be shopping Khalil Mack with an asking price, two number ones, two number twos, or combinations of one, twos, and threes with a number of picks. They are listening. And all of this seems to be completely baseless, with no one else reporting anything like this, and none of it really having any logical legs behind it, particularly when it comes to trading up to that number one overall pick. And this feels like someone tweeting some things out that can't necessarily be proven wrong and got him a decent amount of social media attention, but really aren't based anywhere in any fact that we can look back on and likely won't face any repercussions for it. And I think it is important to look at the source on this one, because you may not know much about Dan Soleo. He's not a guy that you might know from anywhere around here, but a quick Google search about some of his background shows how many different times he's been fired from sports radio gigs for some controversial, and I say controversial, offensive, racist, sexist comments. There was a time when he was a host in Tampa Bay back in 2012 when he was talking about free agents Jonathan Vilma, Cortland Finnegan, and Vincent Jackson, and referred to all three of them as, quote, monkeys. He also referred to Erin Andrews, talking about how she doesn't belong in sports and she should be naked and making him a cake in the kitchen. And he was fired for those comments, and other radio stations have fired him for talking about offering $1,000 to anyone who takes this kid out, in referring to a Florida State defensive tackle on his Twitter account. So he said a lot of incredibly offensive and horrible things, both on the air and on radio, and now he's continuing to seek some attention with some of these tweets about potential plans for the Chicago Bears. But let's just be clear that the Bears do not have, certainly don't have the draft ammunition to move up to the number one pick, and it would take a blockbuster trade involving high-name players from the Bears roster to be able to move up to the number one or any of the top picks in the draft. That is just completely unrealistic for where this team is right now. The only thing that maybe could have any close to possibility, I mean, it's possible the Bears could be listening to offers for Khalil Mack, but given all the money they've invested in him and all the draft picks that they've invested in him and how well he's played, they've given no indication to want to move from him. And I think it would take, again, a super blockbuster deal for the team to move on from him at this point. And there's just really no legs to it. And it feels like a sports radio guy and someone on Twitter saying some things that won't have any repercussions the way many of the other things he said throughout his career have had repercussions. This is a guy tweeting off into the Twitter world, getting some attention from Bears fans, and bringing up some points that have now become talking point speculation, but there's really nothing true behind them that anyone has been able to substantiate or report anywhere surrounding the Chicago Bears. And it's just a good reminder that if you're not seeing it from a official blue checkmark credentialed Bears beat reporter or one of the top NFL insiders, really Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport are the only two that you can consistently trust. If it's not from them, it's not from a Bears beat reporter that you know, there's probably not a whole lot behind it that's real or legitimate. What might be legitimate is some Bears interest in some later quarterbacks in this draft. Not the ones at the top of the draft, but day three wouldn't surprise me to see the Bears bring in some of these guys and really do their homework on them at the NFL Combine starting next week. We'll look at some of the quarterback prospects the Bears might be keeping an eye on a little more in their draft range next on Locked On Bears. Now, if you find yourself watching the NFL Combine workouts and you see these chiseled athletes showing off their bodies and maybe you're feeling a little bit emasculated, you need something to just increase your performance a little bit and get some of that confidence back, then you need our friends at BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code, LOCKEDON. You just have to cover shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Slowly but surely, we're surviving this winter, but if you need a little bit of a break, then why don't you escape this spring and follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Of course, Arizona's got amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, and incredible food, and it all just makes for the perfect home base for baseball fans. Both the Cubs and the White Sox are among the 15 MLB teams that go down and play in 10 stadiums, all within about 50 miles of the greater Phoenix area, and you're looking at 75-degree temperatures every day. Perfect weather for baseball, and it's the kind of relaxed environment where you can go to the stadium early, meet players and get autographs before the game, and then really take in the full ballpark experience with the family. Then when you're done, you can check out the family-friendly resorts and hotels with activity for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides, games, activities, science museums, wildlife parks, so much stuff to do and see all over Arizona. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. The spring training will continue for quarterback prospects entering the NFL draft with the NFL Combine, which starts really picking up next week. Players start reporting this weekend, and then workouts really start picking up, especially later toward the end of next week. And it's a time when you're going to hear a lot of draft talk, not only around this Locked On Bears podcast, but around the NFL community. And I think it's important to take a step back and make sure we're aware of watching out for over-analysis. it's important to keep in mind that with the NFL Combine, and this is true for every position, but it's going to start with the quarterbacks, and a lot of it's going to happen with the quarterbacks, that sometimes you'll see draft evaluations make some pretty significant changes after the NFL Combine. And I think it's important to remember that players don't all of a sudden get significantly better or worse due to one day in February, or maybe it's a couple days in February. But regardless, the most important things come from the tape evaluation and the traits that we see coming into the Combine. And the Combine, like some other opportunities in the pre-draft process, the Pro Day, the Senior Bowl, etc., this is more about checking some boxes, maybe trying to confirm some things, or if this brings conflicting information, and going back on the tape and trying to figure out exactly where the truth is. Because at some positions, and quarterback included to some extent, people are going to put a lot of stock into the 40-yard dash. I don't think that that's as big of a deal here, but you're going to see people talk about it with these quarterbacks' mobility. But really, what the focus is going to be is some of the on-field throwing drills. And those can tell you some things about how a quarterback looks when he throws, what his motion and mechanics look like in some of these really non-contact, non-padded situations. But it's another thing where it's going to be a situation for some quarterbacks to really thrive based on their skill sets, and it might not be a situation that's best for some other quarterbacks. And just because they're good or bad in the combine environment doesn't necessarily equate to being good or bad at translating to the NFL. Like, I think former Oklahoma and Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts will be a good example. I think he's a guy who's going to run pretty darn well at the combine given his great mobility in college. And I think he could even be a guy that throws pretty well, because we have seen him at Oklahoma stand in the pocket and deliver some really nice throws downfield. There's a reason why this guy was in the Heisman competition and conversation for quite a long time down to the end. But there's also a reason why this guy isn't viewed as a first-round pick as a quarterback, because there's some real concerns about how well he can read defenses, how quickly he can go through progressions, and if he can really sort of stay in the pocket and do all the things that you need from a quarterback consistently from an accuracy and a mental standpoint. And those are not the things that the combine drills will really accentuate. And so he's going to be a guy that likely will have a really big showing at the combine and might start moving up into those early second round, late first round discussions even. But it's a reminder of not to get too caught up in that. Whereas on the opposite side of that spectrum, there's a player like Jake Fromm from Georgia who is really good at the mental side of the game. He's very, as cerebral as you can get for a not consensus top first. I mean, obviously, like, your Joe Burrows of your world are pretty darn smart in addition to all the great things, but Jake Fromm can read defenses very well. He goes through progressions quickly. He's able to really have those instincts to know where to throw the ball, to make the right reads, to take care of the football, and be that leader as your quarterback. But none of that's really going to be visible at the combine. And he's not a guy with a very strong arm. And he's a guy it's got some weaknesses in terms of, and some questions about how dynamic of a pro quarterback he can be. And all of those things are going to make him look bad at the NFL, at the combine, but it doesn't necessarily mean he can't be a viable quarterback prospect. And a guy who's likely hovering in that second round range, maybe some of that'll start to drop a little bit with his combine not being all that impressive, just because it's not where he thrives. It's not a situation that's set up for him to be successful. So as we look at some of these quarterbacks that might be more of those day three developmental guys, it's important to understand what to look for and what matters out of the combine and what won't matter as much, because that's sort of where our focus is going to be. There's going to be a lot of attention for the top guys. You know, will Joe Burrow really look the part? Will Tua Tagovailoa, was not going to participate because of his injury, but will he do well in the interviews and all that discussion? How will Justin Herbert perform? Those kind of things, they'll get all the attention. But the Bears are in the market for these day three quarterbacks, and a lot of them can fit into some similar boxes, and how they stand out in those ways will be critical to the Bears' evaluations and what we can tell from the outside. We'll go through some of the specific names that you probably haven't heard of or heard that much about, but may need to after the combine performances, next on Locked On Bears. So both Jalen Hurts and Jake Fromm are both probably second-round guys who could be and likely will be on the clock when the Bears pick and could be in the Bears draft discussions for the second round. But at this point, I'm not expecting the Bears to use a draft pick that early on a quarterback unless there's just really somebody they fell in love with and feel like they can't pass him up with either of their second round picks. But I think we're more looking at those day three draft pick type quarterbacks if the Bears are going to pull the trigger on one of them. And the problem with this class, in my opinion, is that you have a lot of guys that I think are similar in terms of obvious strengths and weaknesses, but more surface level, because I think when you go into it a little bit deeper, they differentiate a bit more. But you have a lot of guys with strong arms that can make pretty much all the throws all over the field, can deliver balls with velocity, you know, those deep throws, they can hit them. But a lot of guys with those arms that have some question marks in the processing side of football. How well can they read a defense? How quickly can they go through their progressions? Can they make smart decisions? Do they really know what they're seeing on the field? Were they just in a scheme that makes it easy for them? And it's sort of different mental question marks for each one. It's not always the same decision making. It's not always the same, you know, progressions. It's not always the same tunnel vision, but it's different mental questions, and I don't know how many of those will really be exposed at the combine if they look the part throwing a nice ball in their underwear and maybe can run pretty well, but none of those mental things, like we talked about with Jalen Hurts, are really going to be on display. So it's important to sort of take a grain of salt when we're watching some of these guys. Like, for example, Steven Montez from Colorado, he's going to look the part. He's got the build of an NFL quarterback. He's got the pedigree. His family members have been professional athletes. He's going to be a guy that some NFL team really likes the way he looks. He looks like a quarterback, and somebody's going to take him in the draft because of it. But he's a guy with some real decision-making question marks for me. He's a guy that can get really locked in on one receiver, stare him down, and put that receiver in a bad position, and also let defenses kind of guess where he's going with the ball and get their hands on some of those balls as a result. Similar kind of thing, but a little bit different with Jacob Eason. And this is where we're talking about differentiation. Another guy with just a big arm. He can throw all over the field, and NFL teams like that. But Jacob Eason has some weird mechanics when it comes to working in the pocket. He's not a guy that always feels pressure properly and sometimes will hold onto the ball too long. And he's also really slow working through his progressions to the point where he doesn't always have time to get through them all. It's like looking at first receiver, looking at second receiver, and then there's pressure he's got to go, and it's like it takes him too long to get through. So it's like it's a slightly different, it's not necessarily tunnel vision like Montez, but it's just not being able to move very quickly through them even when the opportunities are there to move. So it's like it's different mental disadvantages and weaknesses that are question marks for these prospects, but they both have the big arm, and they're both going to be impressive-looking quarterbacks, and the combine shouldn't distract you from some of the very real weaknesses that they have. But sort of on the flip side of that, you have a guy like Kevin Davidson from Princeton. Again, probably not a guy you've heard of unless you watch a lot of Ivy League football. But he's one of these kind of slower, not very athletic pocket passers. But as you might expect from a Princeton quarterback, he's really smart. I mean, he really sees defense as well, kind of like we talked about with Jake Fromm. But, similar profile in terms of not having necessarily, like, top-of-the-line NFL arm strength, not very mobile, and there's going to be some real limitations there. He's not going to necessarily become that super dynamic quarterback, but he just gets football. He's smart. He's a tough player. He plays hard, and he's a guy who I think is going to stick around in the NFL just because he knows so much, and it's just that he just has that gamer, I don't want to say it factor because it's not necessarily like the clutch thing, but it's just he gets it. He gets the quarterback position, and I think he's not going to do well at the NFL Combine. You're not going to hear much about him, but he's a guy that, to me, he'd be like the later-round version of Fromm, where people don't feel like Fromm might not be worth a second-round pick because he doesn't have that ceiling. Davidson likely doesn't have that ceiling either, but I'd much rather use a sixth- or a seventh-round pick on somebody like Davidson than get a quarterback who might have a similar trajectory with Jake Fromm in the second round. I'm not ready to totally put those down as my evaluation and stamp on those quarterbacks, but that's sort of the early indications here, preliminary. Davidson seems like a later-round, poorer man's version of Fromm that I might prefer if I'm in the Bears situation. Another guy that might not look exactly the part at the combine, but I'm really interested in, and the Bears have shown some interest in, quarterback James Morgan from FIU. He's got just kind of like some funky looking throwing mechanics. He kind of brings it down, and it's not what NFL teams look for, what a quarterback looks like. Here's how a quarterback should pass the ball. James Morgan does not pass the ball in a way that looks pristine, and he's got some footwork issues as well. He needs his mechanics pretty well cleaned up and refined. But again, we see some pretty good decision making. We see when the pass comes out like it's supposed to, we see good accuracy from Morgan. And he seems like the kind of developmental prospect that you bring in, you really kind of rework a lot of those deals, and there's enough of the mental side and enough of the other traits there that if you can just kind of get the body to function in the way that it's supposed to, you might have a quarterback there. And that's much easier said than done, but it's not like you have to teach him coverages and how to read defenses and go through progressions necessarily. You just got to actually give him a real quarterback coach with a little bit more than what he's gotten so far. You know, get some of that NFL program in him, and maybe, just maybe, you can turn him into a real developmental quarterback prospect. But that weird-looking throw isn't going to earn him a lot of attention at the NFL Combine, but still a guy I'd like to... I'm curious to see how things pan out and if he's able to clean some things up and maybe be something more than a potential day three flameout. So all that is just to say, when you're reading and watching and hearing NFL draft analysis from the Combine, it's important to make sure you have the right context and understand what the quarterbacks are showing with their combine performances and what you can take away from that and what you can't, and what is reading too much into that and what's actually valuable and what's not. And in the grand scheme of things, the combine shouldn't be a significant mover up and down draft boards, but inevitably it will be in the media, and to some extent it will be for some NFL teams, and we'll keep kind of looking at some of the different positions that the Bears might be interested in all in the days leading up to the combine and throughout the combine here on Locked On Bears. So make sure you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Then before you know it, NFL free agency will be here, then we'll have the full NFL draft itself, and we'll have plenty of new Bears players in the building, all of them that'll have to learn to bear down.